You are now plugged into Action Features.
Okay, we're recording.
Are we recording right now?
We're recording now.
Oh, it feels like we were just recording a second ago.
It does
ago.
Seem like we just did this.
Hang on, I'm sending a text to my pregnant wife.
Well, do you think this is now the time?
I'm just telling her that making sure she's getting the kids because we're recording tonight.
Oh,
did I ever tell anyone on the podcast that it is a baby girl?
I don't think it's been announced.
It's a girl, and her name.
This is a girl.
Yeah. Her name will be Grayson Diane. That's the name of the girl.
Named after Dick Grayson.
Well, that's what I say.
The Robin.
But Bobby, it was Bobby's idea. The name was Bobby's idea. She likes it because she can call the baby Gracie. And she wanted to give me something comic related, so there was that.
So you each got something out of.
And she also chose the middle name. Based on my mom, because my mom's middle name's Diane.
That's nice.
And so she said, we should name her the same middle name as your mom, which I thought was very, very
that's
nice.
That's nice.
So that's the baby.
Respectful.
All right, so this episode, Action Features, I don't know what number it is, but this is the long-awaited Return of the Jedi episode.
Nice.
That was my movie voice.
That was good.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, I like it.
That's pretty good. We're going to talk about Return of the Jedi, the entire episode, except for these very early first few minutes. But I want to talk about other things. Is that cool?
Yeah.
Turtles trailer's up from Michael Bay. Yep. Looks like a turd.
Turtle.
Turtles. They're huge. They look like Hulk versions, but wearing like Jack Sparrow outfits.
Mm-hmm.
Like dangly things everywhere. They remind me of those Jim Lee. Remember those Playmates toys where Jim Lee did those designs of the turtles?
Yeah.
They were real crappy and huge.
Yeah.
Reminds me of that. That doesn't look very good.
That is what it reminds me of, yeah.
We should do a whole Turtles episode.
We did a Turtles episode.
Did we?
Yeah.
Oh, we should do another one of those.
We could do another one.
We should maybe do it on the Turtles movies. Just the movies.
You know what?
You know? Yeah. That'd be fun. So there's that. You have anything you want to say?
Well, I'm trying not to judge things now. I'm trying not to judge before I see
judge
them.
It.
But judging on the trailer, it's not really up my alley. Not really looking too good.
Yeah. Blaze sent me a text.
What does it say?
It says, I can't wait for this Return of the Jedi episode.
I can't either.
He's been talking about it nonstop. He can't wait for it. Okay.
What else were you going to say?
Real quick. Amazon.com is having this March Movie Madness thing.
What do they do with that?
You know how they did like March Madness?
Yes.
You know
yes.
People who like sports do a March Madness?
Basketball.
Well, they're doing it with movies. Like classic movies.
Mm-hmm.
And they were having votes on the Facebook page. It's like a bracket of 16 films. And then they're putting them up head-to-head and then getting votes and then moving on until it gets to the ultimate movie.
Oh, yeah?
Between these movies they picked out. And there's some interesting picks on here. And there's like a dark horse in this competition.
Tell me what
that
it
is killing it right
what
now.
It? What is it?
All right, I'm just going to break it down. Is that cool?
Yeah, yeah.
Just give me a couple minutes, but it'll be
break
cool.
it down.
All right, so I'm going to give you this half of the bracket over here first. The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly versus Forrest Gump.
Okay.
Forrest Gump won that.
Yeah.
All right. The Matrix series versus the Lord of the Rings series. The Lord of the Rings series won that.
Okay.
So then it was Lord of the Rings versus Forrest Gump. And Lord of the Rings won that.
Oh, okay.
So Lord of the Rings is in the final four. All right?
Okay.
On the other side of the bracket, we've got The Shawshank Redemption versus Inception. And The Shawshank Redemption won that.
Well, yeah.
Then we've got the Indiana Jones series versus the Dark Knight series. And Indiana Jones got that.
Oh, hopefully.
I'm so happy about that. I'm so happy it beat Dark Knight.
People know.
I love it. I love that it beat Dark Knight.
I think people really know.
So Indiana Jones against Shawshank. Indiana Jones wins that.
Yeah.
All right? So now on one side of the bracket, we've got Lord of the Rings. And on the other side, we've got the Indiana Jones.
Who's the dark horse?
I'm getting to it. Okay, we're going to move back over to the other side of the
Is
bracket.
Is it the movie The Black Stallion?
You will not believe how well this movie
because
did.
That would be a dark horse.
The original Star Wars series versus the entire Star Trek movie series. The original Star Wars won that.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll give you that. I love Star Trek, but I'll give you that.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Citizen Kane versus Schindler's List. Schindler's List won that.
I love making lists.
Original Star Wars series versus Schindler's List. Original Star Wars series won that.
Yeah.
So now that half of the bracket is original Star Wars series versus the Lord of the Rings series. And that's being voted on right now. Who would you give that vote to?
Star Wars.
Me too. You got to give it to a Star World.
Because a Star World is what started all this. The Star World made your Lord of the Rings movie possible.
Exactly. You got to give it to a Star World.
Not only that, but we talk about time-tested.
Yeah.
Time-tested. This movie's stood the test of time.
Star Wars, and it's all ages. Everybody can enjoy it.
Yeah.
You know, I love Lord of the Rings series. I really do.
Yeah.
But there's certain age groups that maybe can't quite get into it as much. And, you know, I like it, but the characters don't... I mean, I love the books. And I love
you really
the
have
series.
To be in the mood for
you
it.
Really
you
really got to.
Just...
You really, really got to. All right, so now we've got one little section of the bracket left. Ready for this? The Godfather series versus the Alien series. And the Godfather won that.
I don't... I got to tell you.
You haven't really watched much Godfather.
The Godfather, I am not a fan.
Okay. Here's where it gets crazy. Okay. Pulp Fiction versus Dredd.
That's kind of a weird...
It's a weird pairing. It's weird that Dredd made it into this.
It is weird.
But Dredd beat Pulp Fiction.
That's...
I loved Dredd. I thought Dredd was great.
That was a great movie, but that's
but
insane.
I don't think it's better than Pulp Fiction.
No, that's crazy.
So then it was Dredd versus the Godfather series. Now, I will take Dredd over the Godfather series.
I will, too, because I don't want to watch the Godfather.
And Dredd
I don't
beat
care.
The Godfather series.
Wow.
So now, the final four is original Star Wars versus Lord of the Rings... And Indiana Jones versus Dredd. Now, Indiana Jones has got to be Dredd.
It's got to.
I love Dredd, and I think it's awesome that it did so well in this competition, but Indiana Jones has got to beat it.
It's got to be.
And in my eyes, I think Star Wars is going to beat Lord of the Rings. So the final two would all likely be Star Wars versus Indiana Jones.
That's what it has to come down to.
It's got
to
come down to that.
Those are the two greatest trilogies
ever made.
I love
this bracket, and I want to do it with superhero movies, the two of us.
Okay.
You want to do that? You know what's going to win for me, but it's going to be fun to see the other ones and how they stack up.
I'm in.
We should do it as a random thing. Like, we put all the superhero movies we want to put in there and, like, shuffle it up to do the pairings randomly.
I'm in.
So maybe I'll have to put up, like, Batman versus Batman Returns or Superman
it could happen.
Captain America or something like that.
I hope you don't have to make that choice.
But we're going to do that. I think we should do that. Maybe the next episode. Maybe we'll do our...
Maybe we will.
Our superhero March Madness brackets.
Maybe we will.
Maybe we will. It won't be in March by the time we get to
well.
You know, maybe we'll start it in March.
Yeah.
All right, so there was all that.
Okay.
So let's get into Return of the Jedi, also known as Revenge of the Jedi. What do you think about that title? We'll start this up. I'm going to play the movie while we're doing this.
I think it's it's kind of a cooler sounding title, but I agree wholeheartedly with the decision to change it.
Well, it flipped back and forth. They started with Return of the Jedi, and they said, I think it's a weak title.
Yeah.
And they switched it to Revenge, and then right close to the release, switch it back. That's crazy to change the name of your movie that's close to release, where trailers and stuff are already saying Revenge of the Jedi, posters are saying Revenge of the Jedi.
Yeah.
And then switching it out that close to the release date is crazy.
They did it, though.
I mean, I was a kid when that happened, so I don't really remember it. Being called Revenge of the Jedi. I just remember being called Revenge of the Jedi.
I don't either, and I remember seeing that poster and kind of being thrown by it.
Yeah, later on.
Yeah. But it was a good decision, and Luke is really not taking revenge.
Mm-mm.
There's no revenge of the Jedi going on.
There's so much you can incorporate into that Return of the Jedi
title. Yes.
Because it's both, you know, it's just Luke returning.
Luke returns.
The whole Jedi Order returns through Luke.
Right.
But you've also got Anakin returning
to
being a Jedi.
To his Jedi.
It's his return to being a Jedi. So it's like you can read that title so many different ways that it's a really good title. Whereas if you just do Revenge of the Jedi, there's really nothing you can apply that to in the film. Luke's not taking revenge. Vader's not taking revenge. There's no... The Jedi aren't coming back for revenge. But Return covers it on so many different levels.
It really does.
Levels.
Where
do you put Return of the Jedi? I think we both know where we put it, but we should say it on the show.
We kind of talked about this. Empire is the best. Is the best movie.
I got a hole in my chin. I'm getting drink all over myself.
Oh.
That's all right. It's diet, so I won't get sticky.
Oh, okay. Empire Strikes Back is the best Star Wars film, hands down. I can't help but think that Return of the Jedi is my favorite Star Wars film.
I still think Empire is my favorite.
Yeah.
But I think that Jedi is the easiest one for me to watch.
It's the easiest. It's my go-to Star Wars movie, and I don't know why. It's probably because of, as I've mentioned on here a couple times, it was my first Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
I had it on tape. I had it taped off of TV, so I remember the commercial cuts and stuff still in the film. And everything...
It looks
good. It's already starting. It does look so good. So, yeah, I think it's my favorite. And
I don't understand why people blast it so much. I really love Return of the Jedi. I think it's great. And everybody's like, oh, it's a kiddie one. Oh, it ends on such a bad, you know, the trilogy ends on such a sour note. I think it's a great film.
I don't think it ends on a sour note at all.
I don't think it does at all. I think this is an amazing movie. It's got my favorite scene out of the entire trilogy in it.
Yeah.
The Luke Vader lightsaber battle,
yeah.
which I think is incredible. It's just, it's good from start to finish. You criticize the Ewoks. I don't know why you even criticize the Ewoks. We'll get to that later on.
Yeah.
But it's just, I don't get it. I love Return of the Jedi. I think it's better than A New Hope. And A New Hope starts the whole thing. I think it's a better film. I just think it's a lot of fun to watch Return of the Jedi.
I agree.
And, you know, as a kid, I'm kind of in the same boat where I remember Return of the Jedi the most of my childhood.
Yeah.
Because that one, I think, I was a little bit older when I saw it, and it was just, you know, I remember vividly watching Return of the Jedi and playing Return of the Jedi, and, you know, I had the Luke Jedi figure, and that figure was amazing.
Yeah, that's the one
it was,
I had, too.
That was my Luke, you know, and it was just, when I think of my childhood with Luke, I always imagine him from Return of the Jedi. That's what I think about.
Right.
It's just, if I were to look at it as an adult, had I watched these films as an adult first, maybe I would understand more why they would kind of criticize Jedi, because it does feel like it's a little more kid-friendly
than
the first two films.
I would say most of it is. Definitely more than the second one. But, well, the first one had either the arm cut off and the bar, too. I mean, there are things, but it gets pretty intense there towards the end here.
Really intense.
And Yoda dies, even though it's not like a grisly death. Yoda dies in it. The Emperor is kind of nasty. I mean,
he's scary. Yeah.
There's a balance. The Ewoks are really the only kiddie thing in it.
I think seeing so many creatures like Jabba's palace and things like that, and even when you meet the rest of the rebels and you see like Admiral Ackbar and Nian Num and all those characters, there's so many like alien type characters that I think it really grabbed me as a kid, like seeing all these different aliens moving around and being a part of it and stuff. Whereas in the first couple films, really the alien you're seeing the most is Chewbacca, and then Yoda, you know, partially. But other than that, it's kind of like the rest of the aliens are kind of. There's the cantina scene that you see there, and then every once in a while they're sprinkled in. But I feel like Jedi has a lot of alien creatures throughout.
There's a lot more. Their budget was bigger, no doubt.
They look great, man.
Everything looks great.
You can't compare. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you
off.
No,
it's okay. It's okay.
You can't compare the look of these creatures, the Muppets, the costumes, the rubber masks, all that stuff. You cannot compare that to CGI. I mean, I can't even fathom when people try and argue that they could do anything with CGI. It looks so good. This looks so much more real to me. This looks like there's really a Gamorrean guard there.
Right.
And there's really a Jabba the Hutt there. And there's really a Salacious Crumb there. And it doesn't ever feel like, oh, it's Roger Rabbit where I'm seeing these real people in a cartoon. It looks so much better.
Yeah,
so
most
much
of
better.
It really does. Here we're back on, it starts on Tatooine.
Yeah.
Well, it actually starts on the Death Star, but we're back to Tatooine. So I kind of like that.
That's great.
Because
it's
everything's sort of coming full circle a little bit. You've gone through this journey. I also like that the movie starts off, Empire ends without any resolve.
Yeah.
It ends up in the air, and we talked about it on the Empire episode. But I like that when this movie starts, time hasn't passed. Like, between New Hope and Empire, you know, it's a continuation of the story, but a lot of stuff has happened in between then. You know, Luke has joined the rebellion, and they've set up on Hoth and all this stuff. Here, you're coming into it specifically right off the bat to resolve some of the loose ends from Empire.
Yeah.
I mean, not the big one, not Luke and Anakin, but Han Solo's in Carbonite. Which looks great. He looks great as a decoration there. I
think it's fantastic.
I think when Leia got there, she should have just said, you know, hey, this actually does look pretty good. Maybe
nice.
Maybe I'll just take him back as a
like
Carbonite
it.
Block.
I like it as it is. I don't want to do too much of the whole, the expanded universe stuff when we talk about these. But there's some cool books that kind of fill in the timeline between Empire and Jedi. And, you know, Shadows of the Empire was a huge thing. They filled in the holes. And then there were some Tales from the Jabba's Palace type things. And one of those things was Boba Fett bringing Han to Jabba and selling him, basically, you know, collecting the bounty, but also getting more because it was a piece of art from Darth Vader, almost.
Yeah.
And I like that it kind of looks like a piece of art.
It does.
On display. You know, he's
got it lit.
Looks,
he's got it lit like a piece of art.
And he's constantly getting to look at Han Solo in pain. Like,
right.
Jabba's just an evil character. Like, he's just... He's, you know, he not only wants to get his money back or do all these things, but he also wants to just punish him and wants to constantly look at him in pain. Like, that's,
I love that,
that's a treasure to him.
Yes. And I love that we get to see Jabba finally, because he's only mentioned in the first film, and we're talking Untouched
original
trilogy.
Yeah.
So so you never see him, and then he finally shows up, and he's grotesque.
Oh, he's disgusting.
And the it got to be a puppeteering feat to pull off what they pulled off, because what,
it's
there's
crazy.
Five guys?
Yeah, and, well, there's like one running the tail, and
there's
one's
a
doing
small
the,
guy
one,
in the tail,
the arms,
and then
the one guy doing the eyes, and the tongue, and all this different stuff. Yeah, that is an incredible feat.
Yeah.
Jabba the Hutt, and I never for one second don't believe it.
Right,
it's
exactly.
Just, that's just him. Like right there, that's just Jabba the Hutt.
Right.
That I don't even think about that being a creation or, you
right.
know, there's different guys inside here and all these different things. It never really clicks in my mind that this isn't just Jabba the Hutt sitting there.
Right.
It's just Jabba the Hutt.
It's Jabba the Hutt.
And, you know, you bring up a good point that this is his first introduction, so I really can't put myself back to that time and remember them talking about Jabba
right.
and it taking 6 years to finally see Jabba. You know, that's crazy.
Right.
You know, that this main character makes it all the way to being talked about until the third movie before you finally see him. That's awesome.
I try to, when I reviewed this, I try to watch it as though I hadn't really seen it and I'd seen the other two because I'm so familiar with it. But dissecting what's going on at the beginning. C-3PO and R2 show up. They're doing the projector.
Oh, I want to talk about this too.
Luke is giving away the droids.
Mm-hmm.
Chewbacca's in captivity from a bounty hunter. What is going on? Han Solo is in.
Lando's there
captivity.
as a guard.
Right.
How's he there?
Right, and it's like what the heck is going on
yeah.
here? Luke is pretending to be a Jedi. You believe Bib Fortuna,
mm-hmm.
Master? You don't Jedi. Yeah, you know
yeah.
that Luke is not a Jedi yet.
Maybe he's
maybe,
not a Jedi yet.
But maybe
he's
is.
Got cool clothes on.
Maybe he is. He's wearing robes.
He's wearing this cool black outfit.
We
don't know what he's capable of. Well, what I like too is, you know, that there's the Blu-rays and stuff like that now.
There are Blu-rays,
and there's a they have now have a deleted scene where
yeah.
Luke is constructing his lightsaber.
I love that scene.
It's really cool.
Yes.
And he's loading it into R2,
yeah.
you know, and that would have taken place before they go to Jabba's
right.
palace. I'm really glad it was cut.
It gives away.
It gives away yeah. too much. You're like,
that
I
this whole thing
this,
is a plan.
That the whole thing is a plan.
Right.
That he's put his lightsaber together, and he's hidden it inside R2, and all these different things are gonna that they're all going to happen. I love that the way this is right now, because we don't know where his lightsaber is. We saw it in the projection. Like I think it's hanging off his belt.
Yeah, it's hanging on his belt.
But we don't know why he doesn't use it in Jabba's palace, and we don't
right.
know why he sent the droids there, or that was part of his plan. But this whole thing is orchestrated by Luke. Like, he's had a vision of everything that's going to happen.
Right.
And he's got it all planned out, man. He's going to put all the pieces there. Like, it's a chess game.
Right.
He's got all his pieces set up to get them all into the palace to get to Jabba's sail barge. And, you know, there's even a moment where, after they're captured, and I think Jabba's saying something like, you're going to be devoured by the pit of Carcoon or something like that. And he kind of looks down. And it's like you can see in his face that he's like, yep, it's all going exactly how I want it to
go. Right, yeah.
Like, he knows that this is exactly where it was supposed to go.
Right.
And it's awesome. And when you rewatch it, I can't imagine watching it the first time because I wouldn't have caught that look. But once you know that, okay, Luke's got it all planned out,
right.
you can see that look in his face and you'd be like, wow, that's awesome. You
right.
know, that's a great moment where it's like, Luke really is a Jedi and he's got this whole thing locked down.
Yeah.
It's really, really cool.
We touched maybe a little bit on it in the first episode we did, but Leia, I like her role in this. She's disguising herself as a bounty hunter. She's doing this all to get Han back. I mean, she's going along with Luke's plan, but she's doing it to get Han back. She's kind of a tough chick. I mean, she's walking in here. She's got a thermal detonator, which may or may not be active. We don't know, but she's willing to bluff, at least, and we think of her as kind of like in the slave outfit, but...
I love the Bausch
she
outfit.
I love the Bausch outfit. I think that is a really cool,
really cool,
really
design.
Cool design. Very cool costume, and once again, the first time you don't know it's Leia until that very last moment, because even they distorted the voice and everything
mm-hmm.
through the mask, and she also is the one who kills Jabba. You don't think about that, but
yeah.
she's the one who kills Jabba, and she does it with a
yeah.
she does it with her chain.
Yeah,
so
chokes him out.
I mean. It's tough. Tough chick.
A thing here, I think the only character that maybe not aware of Luke's plan is C-3PO.
Oh, yeah, because he seems a little
I think they talk about it in the radio dramas, maybe. The 3PO gets kind of disappointed afterwards because he wasn't allowed in on the plan.
Oh.
And, like, I think that Luke explains that it would have been too easy to crack his memory or something like that.
Yeah, he seems like he would have spilled the beans.
Yeah, and he had to make it seem real, like their delivery there and all that different things.
R2, you're playing the wrong message.
Yeah, so it's neat that all the other characters are kind of surrounded and they all know that Luke's got this plan and they've all got to play their parts. Like, Leia at one point is waiting for Luke to make his move on the skiff, and it's just
I love the skiffs, by the way.
The skiffs are great.
Jabba's got his
giant sail barge.
Which is it's his yacht, you know, like a gangster, but it's out in the desert. It's just a really cool design and really cool idea.
There is nothing wrong with this dance number with Yarna, the fat dancer, and Ula and things like that.
Because
there's no reason this should have gotten changed.
Because
there's no reason.
It's not a dance number. It's just the environment. It's just what's happening. And we were listening to the soundtrack the other day and commenting on it, and, you know, this music is otherworldly. It doesn't sound like something going on now. There's no blues riff in here. There's no guitar in there. It's very distinct and very unique to this world. And mm-hmm. so you are allowed to separate. You can go into this world and separate yourself from what's, you know, real life.
I don't want to get too far onto this tangent, too, but... Something upsets me about George Lucas and the special editions is, and there's a whole website about this where he had gone to a Supreme Court and talked about, you know, altering old films and how you need to leave the original films by old filmmakers alone, let their original visions mm-hmm. stand the test of time. And then he goes and he tweaks all of his, and he's like, well, they're my movies, so I can tweak them.
Yeah.
This really isn't his movie. Richard Marquand directed this. This is his film. And so for him to come back and say it's okay for him to tweak something for a guy that's passed away, Richard Marquand's not around to say he's okay with you changing it or not. This is Richard Marquand's vision. He's the director of the film.
Yeah.
So for you to come back and tweak it afterwards is going against exactly what he said before. And I don't want to get too much on that and be a downer about it.
He's turned to the dark side.
Yeah.
There's no question about it. I mean, it's just if you watch old interviews contrasted with new interviews, it's so night and day.
Yeah.
He's fell off.
Spielberg was originally going to direct this.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and then I think it was like a thing with the Directors Guild or something like that that prevented him from being able to use Steven Spielberg to direct this, and so that's why Richard Marquand was brought in to direct this.
See, I don't want to get on a tangent there either, but I think the whole guild thing is...
It's ridiculous. It's just silly.
It's ridiculous. He should be able to...
But out of all three films, this one I think would have been the most appropriate for Steven Spielberg to direct.
Yeah.
I think that his look and his take would have been... fine for this. Yeah. I mean, it's fine. The movie is fine the way it is, and to debate it.
It's great. It would have been
interesting. Would have been better if Steven Spielberg
would have
done it.
It would have been a different movie if Steven Spielberg would have done it. Where are we? The Bausch costume is cool, yes. Back to Luke being in control here. When he gets his... I love that R2 is involved with the lightsaber thing, because he's always involved in some way, but... once again, the lightsaber is like a symbol. It's symbolic in this film. It's like the Holy Grail. It's the thing, and that somebody else, like the R2, got not his hands, but you know, got
to have it.
Got to
it's
have
like
it,
Han
and,
having it
and tosses
the,
it to him. And this actually, I have to say, they did such a good job in Luke being wrapped up in this. You're not even thinking about the lightsaber,
mm-hmm.
you know, because all the action is happening, and he has to fight the Rancor. And he gets caught, and once again, what is going on? How in the world are they going to get out of this? You know, he's got his handcuffs on, and when he finally catches it, man, he just starts laying waste.
It's crazy.
To all the,
it's really cool too, because it's our first time seeing a green lightsaber.
Right, it's brand new.
It's really cool, and it looks like Obi-Wan's. So it's almost like, you know, now that we know the sand strip scene, he's building it at Obi-Wan's hut. Using think stuff there or whatever, it makes sense that it looks like Obi-Wan's because he's kind of building it off a plan that was in Obi-Wan's place or parts that were in Obi-Wan's place or something like that. But it was so cool seeing a green lightsaber. But if I remember right, some of the early trailers, it looked blue. Like it looked like he had a blue lightsaber.
Well,
so.
In the painted poster,
it's
blue.
Also.
Yeah.
Oh, I think the colors might be switched in that one poster too. Like I think Luke's got the red lightsaber. And Vader's got a blue or something like that.
There was an
maybe
Empire
Revenge
poster like
or something
that.
Like that. I can't remember. But yeah, that's really cool, the different color of the lightsaber.
These matte paintings look awesome, too.
Oh, they're fantastic. It looks real. I love Boba Fett being back.
Yep.
His armor's different this time around. There were slight changes to that, where it's got different colors than it did Which is kind of cool that it's just a little thing that they changed between the two films that they didn't really need to change, but it was right. just kind of like, okay, well, this is showing the character, you know, it's a different time, and maybe the character's changed, he's changed his outfit or whatever. It's neat little kind of tweaks, and it looks a little more sci-fi-y with, like, the reds and the blues and yeah. stuff like that that he's got on him.
So, I'm sorry, we've got downtime here.
There was oh, a I thought space. You were going to say something.
Well, I was, but I forgot. Okay. I didn't have it.
Well...
I messed up.
You've
I derailed the whole. I derailed the whole thing.
The rails now.
It's hard to watch the movie because we're beyond this part now.
Did you know the part with Boba Fett? Did you see how it was flipped?
What is it? A mirror image?
It's flipped. Yeah, his antenna's on the other side.
Oh yeah,
rangefinder's on the other side.
I noticed that.
And there's also a scene where it's running backwards, like where Jabba's smoke is coming back into this thing or something like that. There's little things, and I don't know if they were doing, you know, like the backwards reel or something like that on purpose to give it sort of an otherworldly mm-hmm. feel or whatever. But it's just little things that you notice when you watch it again. Like, I wonder why they did that. Because, you know, it seems like somebody would have noticed that in editing. Like, it had to be a conscious decision to, like, flip the negative and make
right.
Boba Fett look reversed or have this thing going backwards.
Maybe
it
just
like
played
that.
Better to have him looking a certain way
yeah.
than another way.
Well, I guess his positioning behind Jabba, if he was raising the gun a certain way, it would have to be flipped so it looked like he was in the right spot. Who knows? But it's just little things you notice when you watch yeah. these films.
Boba Fett.
You see him so many times.
Right.
Yeah.
You got to look for something.
Yeah.
Leia kisses Han here out of carbonite. That was probably a bad decision.
It's probably gross.
Because it's probably pretty gross at this point.
It's probably pretty
gross.
Rank.
Han would definitely have some sort of atrophy, but we don't need to go into that. It's not a big deal.
He's got the shakes.
He does have the shakes
here.
He's
got the shakes real bad
and
here.
He's clammy. I like that he's blind for a little bit because
it's really
not,
neat.
There is at least some effect mm-hmm. that this is taken on him. And it also provides for some humor. I grew up here, you know.
You're going to die here.
You're going to die here, you know.
Yeah.
That's funny.
This whole sequence, you know, it doesn't feel like it takes a long time, like the Jabba's yeah. Palace thing. It feels like, oh, it's just a quick intro to get Han back. But it really is a long sequence of the film.
Oh, yeah, yeah. What are we, a half hour into it
yeah,
or something
we're 20
like
minutes into it, and she's just now in Frozen Han.
Right.
But for me, when I think about the film, though, I really don't think about it being that big of a chunk of the
right.
film. I feel like getting to Endor and then the fight between Luke and Vader and stuff is the driving
right.
force and the main piece of the film. But there's a lot of it right here. And I love this, that Jabba's not stupid.
No, he's not.
He knew something was going on.
Yeah, he's not dumb.
So he's plotting and hiding behind the sheet and stuff like that so that he can cause Han even more pain
yeah.
than he thinks. He's going to take his girl and dress her up in a slave outfit and
yes.
send him down there and do these things.
I would do the same thing.
Yeah, he's... Yeah. Jabba's a mean dude. Look at all these characters back here.
Dude.
You got Infant Mon back there and just all these other, you know, different looks of so many unique aliens
yeah.
just in Jabba's palace.
I like Salacious Crumb, too.
Oh, they're so...
So funny.
Just way better than the cantina scene.
You know what's
obviously the budget's better, but...
Yes, obviously. C-3PO here is... He's kind of a pushover. He's here with Jabba, and he's just
yeah.
doing his job. He's just... He's interpreting for Jabba.
Yeah, exactly.
Luke gave him up.
Yeah.
he's
my master now.
That's what he's...
Nothing I can do.
That's right. He's just along for the ride.
That tongue looks so real, man.
Yeah, it actually looks gross.
C-3PO can't even watch. He says, oh, I can't watch. But he's still going to stay there.
He's going to hang
out.
He's going to sneak a peek.
Leia's
slave outfit is great.
Of course. Everybody's going to talk about that.
Yeah, but that's all I need to say about it.
Should we maybe skip scenes a little bit?
Yeah, we can skip ahead a
little
bit.
I'm just going to do like a little random skip here. All right, so Luke's arrived at the Jabba's palace.
Luke arrives.
Looking cool with the cloak.
Looking great with the cloak.
Lighting's perfect.
I want to comment, too, on this. You're getting some of the things that you got from Empire where he reaches for the lightsaber
mm-hmm.
in the cave, right? Remember I commented on that, and they made a big deal of it that
yeah.
time. This time, they already did that.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't need to. When he reaches for the gun from the guard, it's like, bam, it's right.
Yeah,
it's in his hand.
Well, he's so much more skilled now, too.
Right.
But
from a storytelling, from a film standpoint, to not rehash the same things, like, okay, you've seen this already, it's like, okay, This is part of the mythos. This is the ability that he has, and now we're just gonna do it.
I do like that we see him use the Jedi mind trick the first time in this.
Yes,
where we saw Obi-Wan using it in the first one.
Right.
And we hadn't really seen it up until then. You know, we didn't see anything in Empire like that where
right.
he tricks somebody into doing things, and him tricking Bib on the way in was really cool because it's like your first shots of Luke as he's coming in and it's in silhouette and stuff,
yeah.
and he's immediately using like Obi-Wan's tricks, you're like, okay, time has passed, and Luke is more skilled.
Right.
You know, he's able to do things that maybe he wasn't able to do before, and he's on the same level as Obi-Wan at this point.
He's been developing his skills during the off-season.
Rancor's cool.
Rancor is a cool-looking monster.
Cool-looking monster.
Even though some of the matting, you know, needs to be cleaned up, but look at that right now when it comes out. It's only when he's up against Luke, like, on its own.
Well, in the that's one of the things about the special edition I did like.
Yeah.
Like, all the mat stuff, the snow speeders being optically composited, and the Rancor, they cleaned all that up. Yeah. And I think that looks a lot better. And that's just a matter of just cleaning things up.
Right.
That's not getting rid of the effect. It's just making it cleaner and, you know, putting it together better than it was before.
Right.
And I don't think that's as nearly as jarring as some of the other things they did.
No, not at all.
I think it's unforgivable the dance number they put inside this, and I think it's unforgivable the Sarlacc beak thing that comes out of it.
Yeah, we'll talk about that when we do the special edition
episodes. We're going to do an episode on special edition changes.
Unfortunately. This movie, perhaps, has the best design for the Empire. I could be wrong, but I don't think I am.
What do you mean, of a character?
I mean, no. The Empire as a whole has, the design has reached a pinnacle. Mm. Because everything looks so good. The Death Star looks way more menacing as a half, like, mostly completed. It's sort of got this skeleton coming out of the side. It looks so cool. The Royal Guards.
Royal Guards are awesome. The Imperial Shuttle.
The Imperial Shuttle. I was going to say it's that at so the beginning cool. when you see it. That is such a cool design for a ship.
It's so neat looking.
It's really, really cool. It's real sleek. It's real efficient looking. It makes sense.
Well, I think they were hitting their stride all over the place. Between alien design, ship design, everything in this movie is a step up from the previous films. The B-Wing is really cool looking. The A-Wing is really cool looking. You can see the AT-STs in the film before, but you get a better view of them this time around. The Imperial Shuttle, everything across the board is just a better design this time around.
Yeah.
And again, that has to do with money and success and you know, learning from your own. Boba Fett. Noticing something's up.
Yep.
I like that. Little tiny things they throw in
there.
That
was a real short thing.
Real quick, but Boba sees R2 take off and he turns and he knows something's going down.
I kind of like that he hung out at Jabba's palace.
Yeah.
He didn't just drop him off and leave. He's like, you know what?
Oh, I got
some time to kill. That's what bounty hunters would do.
Yeah. Wait for the next job.
Yes. What do you think? Where Luke and Leia swing out on the rope, I think it's maybe a nod to the first movie.
I think so. I think it definitely is.
It's got to be.
I think it's a carryover for sure. Man, I love. Look at this. Luke's signaling Lando. Lando knows what's up.
Yeah.
He's going to signal R2. Leia's waiting. It's like everybody, all the pieces are there. And Han's just kind of like, I don't know what's going on, you know, because he's not hip to it.
That brings me also to
such a cool move, that little salute to give R2 to pop it out.
And then he does the flip.
And he just goes.
He goes nuts.
Nuts, man. He's taking out everybody.
And his new lightsaber looks like, this is a real geeky thing to be talking about, but we are talking about Star Wars. It looks like it's weightier. The blade is thicker than the other one. And
it's over.
It's got some force behind it.
Sarlacc looks so much better
behind it. Yeah, without that big stupid thing.
It looks menacing, and it's exactly what it needs to be.
It leaves some mystery. It's a hole in the desert that is also sort of an alien species. You don't know. It's alive, obviously, but is it a plant? It doesn't have to be a character
It doesn't have to be.
Just
the
hole.
The whole point of it would be that it needs to be hidden. You know, for things to fall into it.
Exactly.
And not, obnoxiously noticeable. Boba Fett versus Luke.
Boba Fett.
It's really cool.
It's cool. He kind of.
He seemed to use the jetpack for the first time.
He doesn't get a fair.
Keeps trying. You know, he gets up. He goes over there. He shoots. He gets his gun taken out. He tries the cord. He tries the blaster on his wrist. He's trying again and again to take out Luke, which I'm sure he's doing it for a reward of some sort.
Right.
And then, of course, he has the fall into the Sarlacc and it burps.
Well, I was just wondering about that, because his motivation, maybe there wouldn't be a reward for Luke. Maybe
I think it's more that he's being paid by Jabba to be there.
Oh, okay.
That's what I always inferred it as, and it may have been one of the books.
Okay.
That he's being paid to be a bodyguard at this point. Because I think Jabba realizes the rebels will come.
Okay.
And I think that's maybe why he's sticking around.
Okay. That would make some sense. I thought it'd be interesting if he was just kind of gets wrapped up into it and picks a side because he's kind of a bad dude. Back to Han. This movie is Han's weakest.
Oh, definitely.
Weakest movie for Han. This movie is all about Luke.
Which it should be.
But Han
had his moment in Empire.
He totally did. And in the first movie. I think he carried the first movie.
Yeah.
But this is his weakest, maybe not weakest performance, but he's kind of lighter. It's like Han light.
Well, it's, you know, that may be a lot to do with, you know, Harrison at first didn't want to come back.
Yeah.
He wanted to kill off Han. And then when the movie started, both him and Kasdan thought that Han should die and that it should be early on. And, you know, and obviously George was more feeling like the teddy bear thing and, you know, selling the figures and stuff like that. And, you know, I can see both sides of it. Yeah. You know, I wouldn't want Han to die because I love Han. I don't want him to die. But at the same time, it would have given it more weight, but it wouldn't have sold toys. It would have been, nobody wants a dead Han.
I like him in this movie, and he serves his purpose in this movie. And it does create for a happy ending. I mean, Star Wars is a feel-good movie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
and you
want to
end it
franchise.
On a good note.
Right.
This was supposed to be, well, I mean, they talked about 7, 8, 9 then, but really this was the end for now.
Right.
So, you know, you don't want to end it on a sour note of Han being dead.
Here the Emperor shows up, and
we've been skipping.
We have, yeah.
Yeah.
These biker scouts lined up.
Oh, yeah, just every scouts and speeder bikes. I kind of forgot about those.
We'll get to
the
that.
Designs of those.
We'll get to that. Yeah, I wanted to mention that. What's the guy's name? McDermott.
Ian McDermott.
Yes, fantastic job in this movie as the Emperor. I mean a mind blowing job. He does a great job, and I can't believe that it was him in the new films.
It's night and day. You know, it's really...
I would think it was a different person if I didn't know better.
Well, it's. It's a great look for the Emperor. We get the first, you know, full look at the Emperor after being that little weird hologram and the one before it. But our first full look at him, and it's just like, man, the dark side has just ate this guy up.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's wrecking him. You know, he's got all this power, but it's just like it's destroying himself. And we know that Vader is, we don't know at that point what's happened to create Vader.
Right.
We just know that, you know, he's part man and part machine. And now we see this other guy that's part of the dark side, and he's all decrepit and messed up. And it's like, wow, does the dark side just destroy you? Is that why Vader's right. the way he is? And all these different things
sort
you don't
of a
know.
Smaller, kind of looks like a feeble old man who is running the show.
Mm-hmm.
But the presence, and I have to comment on the music. The Emperor's musical cues are just amazing. So dark and like moody, and I can't even put my finger on. I can't even describe. So every time when he shows up, there's a lot of weight behind what he's doing. His lines, and everything are just executed so well.
I totally agree with you. I can't imagine it's the same guy in the prequels because it's just nowhere near as good in the prequels. And the makeup is nowhere near as good.
Yeah, the makeup is like they went.
It's so weird.
They went so far out.
You have the design right there. Right. Especially after he gets, you know, scarred up in Revenge of the Sith, and we'll talk about it too much now.
Right.
But you have the design. All you have to do is make it look like that. And it's the same thing with Yoda. I mean, Yoda, just make it look like that. And the prequel Yoda, the episode one Yoda, they didn't look anything like that. It's just make it look like that.
Right.
That's all you have to do.
It shouldn't have been that difficult. But
I want to comment real quick on a great decision across the film. Luke's black glove. It's so cool.
Luke
His one black glove is so cool, man. Yes. He gets that hurt on the hand, the robotic hand. He gets that zapped and puts on that one black glove. And it is so cool looking.
It gets shot in the hand because it's a reminder. Because you kind of forget about that. He gets it fixed. And I wasn't going to comment until later, but since you brought it up, you know, it's very symbolic that he's already, you know, there's the parallel drawn between him and Vader that he's sort of already, like, on his way, like he's just dipping into the dark side a little bit. You know what I mean? The outfit alone, yeah. And that parallel is drawn upon later, of course, when they have the duel. But yeah, so cool. And he doesn't wear two gloves. He doesn't need two gloves.
Only one hand's messed up. I'm just gonna put on one glove. It's so cool looking.
Before Michael Jackson did it.
And I loved that figure. I mean, he had the one black glove, and it was just so neat to have that figure with that one black glove.
Luke comes into his own in this film, and he's a beast. I don't know. I can't say what he really is on the show, but he is bad.
Mark Hamill's acting is superb. I hate when people criticize his acting, because more than any other character in the Star Wars trilogy, he has the biggest evolution. And he goes from the whiny brat in the first movie to the guy that's learning and is entering this whole new world in the second movie, and the guy that's filled with like almost like confidence and power in this third movie.
Yeah, he's super confident here, but he's showing some vulnerability as he's talking to Yoda. But every strong man really does. I mean, there's great range here going on.
And I can't wait to see if he comes back for 7, where he takes it past that.
Yeah.
You know, how much further he can go from here. Because, like you said, there is still some doubt and there's some, conflicting emotions inside himself. Am I strong enough? Am I this? Am I this? Do I this? And hopefully by that time, if he makes it in 7, which seems like he's going to be in 7, to see where he takes it to the next level. Like, where it's just like he's full on Jedi and there's no doubts left, and it's just him.
Oh, I'm sure he will be. By the end of this movie, he's there.
He's done everything he said he would do. Even though that, Yoda was telling him not to do it and Ben was telling him not to do it, he went and did his own thing. Like, no, I know that I can turn him back.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, like, he just does it. He just goes and just does it.
This movie, more than any of the three, and it does work as a larger story arc, but this movie highlights the conflict between good and evil the clearest for me. It's so stark when we I'm not going to talk about it yet because it's toward the end.
Scene here. Let's see.
But we're already at. I love we're at 40 minutes. I love Endor.
Endor's great.
The idea that there's a moon that's projecting the force field, I like that. But Endor is so cool because it gives you a reason to shoot in the forest.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's a general now.
Everybody gets to be a general.
They're just handing out general badges like nothing.
I'm really glad it wasn't Wookiees. I'm glad it was Ewoks.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a Wookiee homeworld or something like that. Originally was supposed to be.
Yes, it was.
I like that they're small. And it's, because if it was all Wookiees, we'd be looking at Revenge of the Sith or whatever, where the Wookiees are fighting those things. And there's these big creatures and they're doing their thing. I really like that it's a small, unassuming race of teddy bears, basically.
You kind of get...
The rebels team up with them, and that's it. They fight, too. It just shows that no matter how, small or whatever you are, you can still do the right thing. It doesn't matter. Yeah. They're up against horrible odds, and they're still going to do it.
Right. Also, artistically, I don't want to know Chewbacca's history. I don't really want to know about his race.
I don't
because
either.
We're two movies.
He's just Chewbacca.
He's Chewbacca. He's Chewie.
I like him being unique. Yoda's unique.
I love these Imperial dignitaries. The guys.
Yeah, what are those guys doing?
They're just in the background.
They're creepy.
They don't treat them like, hey, let's get a close up of this guy, and we're gonna show, hey,
they're just like the Emperor's creepy friends,
right?
They're gonna
advise him on some things. Maybe this is the first time. Also, nobody has told Vader what to do.
Yeah,
up to this
Tarkin a little bit, but
he tried to boss him around, but his friends got choked.
Yeah, that's probably what Emperor's friends are around there for. get choked.
Yeah.
But
the Emperor is totally, I mean, he's just like,
there's no, yeah. Vader has to just obey me. But Vader's got something going on in the background where he wants Luke to be with him, that kind of thing. Like he wants, he wants to save Luke and he wants Luke to be with him, and maybe they're going to overthrow the Emperor together type of thing.
So they get to, I love Endor. The Biker Scout is my favorite. Biker Scout is my favorite soldier design. It's my favorite Imperial design.
It's really neat looking.
It's so... I was thinking about this today. It's super cool looking, but it's also very functional. Like,
practical.
I believe that could be an outfit that soldiers would wear today because, you got your pouches, you got a couple pieces of armor, you got your headgear that blocks the sun a little bit, you got the visor. I mean, we have stuff like that now.
Mm-hmm. It kind of felt to me like a cross between a stormtrooper and Boba Fett.
Right, yeah, exactly.
That's what it really felt like, is, that design with all the pouches and things like that.
Because it still looks Imperial. It's still very obviously Imperial, but so cool looking. And the speeder bikes are awesome.
And what a great... they filmed this by just walking through the forest, holding a camera, and then just speeding up the film.
Right.
And, you know, it, because it projected at a, they recorded it at a certain rate. And
it was like 2 frames per
second
or something.
And
real
it's just,
slow.
It's genius. And that's just what they had to actually think about these things. Because you couldn't, like, drive something through here this fast and do this and, you know, it'd be so dangerous. But they had to, like, figure out ways to make these things work. And it's just, it's amazing. The ingenuity and just how good it looks and how real it feels. It's so much different than nowadays where anything you say, oh, we'll just do that on the computer.
They had
said that a bunch of times, but I love that.
They had to pull this off.
Luke, just and, doing what Luke does here, man.
I got to tell you, one of my favorite parts in this movie is he jumps off. He pushes this biker scout off, and he hits the tree.
Yeah, and then he's just confident,
it's kind of funny.
Leia's just kind of looking at him like, wow. You know, like
he just shoved that dude off, no problem.
She looks over him like, whoa.
He's going for it.
Luke is pretty cool.
But I love when he gets tossed off his bike,
oh.
The biker scout swings back around.
It's
you,
chill worthy, dude.
And you hear that, and you
he's
know
ready,
he's
dude.
Like, oh,
it's on.
What's he gonna do? And he just cuts the nose off of it, which I like the idea that the nose is.
Oh, it's directional veins?
Yeah.
I like that part, too, where he's like, stay on that one, I'll take these two. And he just shuts it down and
puts
it back and then kicks it back up a notch. And it's no problem for him. He's just like, I'll take these two.
It's
just no big deal.
It's a great chase. It's
it's really well done.
It's really cool. This is the first chase in this franchise. There's been no other chases.
Yeah, really.
I can't think of any in the prequels either, but I'm not familiar.
Yeah, there's one in the Attack of the Clones, I think, where they're in the
This is the only one through the trilogy.
Yeah.
So, pretty neat.
And it's cool to see a different planet, because we've had the sand planet.
Right.
We've had the ice planet.
The ice planet, yeah.
And now we've got the tree planet.
Right.
You know, it's not really a planet, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, they get to. I want to talk about.
I'm gonna skip forward again.
Skip forward because I
do want to see the scene where Luke ignites his lightsaber. I want to see it.
Han does have his moments here on Endor.
Yeah, there's some good comical moments
where he's. That's what it is, but it's still a little bit of his arrogance is showing through, like.
It's so cool, man.
It's cool. He's going to do battle with this guy who's got a bike and with weapons on it and stuff with just the lightsaber.
And see, this
that
is
explosion
enough.
Explosion looked really good too.
This is enough. You don't need them doing giant crazy flips.
Right.
And, you know, I'm spinning my lightsaber all over the place doing this and that and the other thing. I like that this was the pinnacle of power. Like Luke is the strongest there is, and the things you're seeing him doing are amazing. And it's like, whoa, the Luke is really powerful. I hate that they hit the reset button with the prequels, and now the Jedi's are doing crazy stuff all the time that makes the things that Luke does in this kind of seem like, oh, well, Luke just did that.
Yeah.
I don't like that. I don't like that at all. It's just, what's the point of that? You've built him up as the most powerful in the Force, and yet you're going to chump him out in the ones that come before it. I was watching this video, and I don't want to spend too much time on the prequels, but
we're doing prequel episodes.
Yeah. Well, I kind of want to. Well, I'll wait until we get to the final battle.
Sorry, guys.
I want to get wait until
right.
the final battle.
I kind of want to get up to that point. Luke knows that he's endangered the mission. Well, let's talk about Ewoks first.
We'll talk about the Ewoks.
We kind of already did, but more in depth.
We'll talk about the Ewoks and we'll talk about the end of the film. Close to an hour.
You know, the Ewok village is my favorite playset,
and it's Joe's.
Oh, is it?
Yep.
Is this number one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's cool.
Ewoks are going to eat people, dude.
They are going to eat people, but
they're
you know
gonna
what?
Eat them.
They're just going to survive. They don't know.
Yeah.
They don't know. I like that 3PO sort of gets his moment in the limelight a little bit. He's being put up on a pedestal, and I think he kind of likes it. Like,
oh, he loves it.
As much as a robot can,
can
like it. And naturally, he's bright gold, so.
They love it.
The Ewoks love it. These costumes look so much better than the Ewok movies, the TV movies.
Yeah, they really do. I think they really
and there's something
out.
In the eyes.
Mm-hmm.
But
the Ewoks, I like the Ewoks a lot. I think the designs are really cool. I loved the figures.
Yeah, yeah.
As a kid, I really liked the Ewoks. And then you got so much that built off of these Ewoks. And it was kind of a merchandising type thing where you had the cartoon and the plushes and the movies and all that different stuff that they just kept on that this was obviously a vehicle to introduce all that those things and get it out there and get kids involved.
Yeah.
But there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with putting something into Star Wars that kids can climb onto and that they can make a cartoon from and that they can make some TV movies from. I don't think there's anything wrong with it if it's done well. And I think the Ewoks are done well.
Well, yeah, we're talking about a time period also where that's what everything was. I mean, everything is to sell toys almost. But they are done well. And it allows for, we're talking about the Ewoks movies. You get that Star Wars fix. You get to get in there without altering the timeline or altering any canon or anything like that. It's totally separate. It's a separate species. They're doing their own thing, but you still get to visit that world a little bit. I like that. I like having a
little offshoot that doesn't have anything to do with Skywalker.
Right.
Like
exactly. Just, there's no force.
But still feels like Star Wars.
Right. There's none of that.
So we talked about some Ewoks.
We did talk about some Ewoks.
Okay. So Luke and Leia, brother and sister.
Yes.
Okay. Did he have that plan all along? Or was that something he changed later on?
Well, he said he did.
But why'd you have him kissing on her and stuff?
That's...
Come on,
I understand the first movie, like, there's an attraction.
Yeah.
And he kind of plays that. I understand that. But the kiss, it does make the kiss sort of awkward because... you know, their brother and sister.
This scene between Vader and Luke, where Luke's captured, he's giving himself up.
He doesn't want to endanger everybody else.
Yeah, and he knows that this is where he has to go.
Right.
Like, if he's going to turn Vader, if his thoughts are real, then he's got to go to Vader.
That's another thing, too. He's not only going to turn him, but Yoda tells him that he has to confront him again if he's to become... He has to defeat him if he's going to become a Jedi. So, ultimately, he's kind of done playing games.
Yeah.
I got it. This is where I'm ultimately heading anyway.
Yeah.
Why jeopardize everybody else's life?
I've always loved that sequence of them walking forward because of the size difference.
Yeah.
Luke looks so small compared to Vader.
Yeah.
And it's just... It's insurmountable that he's going to have to go up against this guy.
Right.
He's so big in this entire thing, and he's going to do it... I mean, he's already telling him flat out what's going to happen.
Yeah.
That he's going... He still feels the good in him, and he's going to let him go and all these different things. And it ends up happening, you know, and it just takes a little bit to get there. But Luke is just so confident in what... I mean, there's still some doubts, but he's confident enough that he's going to risk his life to do what he thinks he needs to do.
Yeah.
And it's just... It's awesome.
Like I said, visually, I love this where they're standing on this little corridor that's looking out into the forest moon. Because I took for granted as a kid, like, oh, they're in space. But they're on this planet... But it's real cool looking. And when Luke shows up in the Emperor's throne room, you got the royal guard standing on the side with the lights coming down to it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's that little splash of red, you know, their costumes. And then there's the blue control centers there. And it just looks so fantastic. And like I said, the ultimate portrayal of good versus evil in this film. And you can tell that Luke, as determined as he is to do the right thing, is being tempted. He's got some. I mean, the Emperor, once again, contrast to the prequels. The way that the Emperor is working on him makes sense.
Oh yeah, it's not just flat out like, oh, you're gonna have to kill these kids to be able to have some power to save your girlfriend.
Right.
He's really, you know, he's trying every venue to get little slivers of hatred and anger inside of him.
And he's pulling on emotions that Luke
crazy.
Is having because
yeah.
you know that Luke does want to strike me down with it. He wants, I love this exchange of the lightsaber as just, once again, like it's this object. It's not a flashy thing to be, you know, waved around so that kids can look at it. It's a real object here. But yeah, the Emperor's manipulation of
it's great
of Luke's
sowing all these seeds as he's just talking to him,
and this builds and builds. They don't go right into the battle; it builds, and you can see in the background through the window
the
of the Death Star, there's a battle way in the distance.
I don't want to talk about the battle really quick.
Yeah,
I think the main focus of the show is going
to
be talking about Vader, Emperor Luke.
Definitely.
The space battle is the most incredible space battle ever filmed. I don't care if you're talking CGI, this, that, or the other thing. The Return of the Jedi space battle is crazy. There is so much going on.
Yeah.
There are so many ships flying around. And they had to do all that. They had to film all these little ships doing this and that and the other thing. these shooting this one and this giant ship over here, and all that stuff had to be put together, and it's just incredible. There's so much going on in that space battle. It boggles my mind that those guys did that without the benefit of a computer doing it all for them or anything like that. All little models, all that stuff really made and physically had to be filmed. It's crazy.
It's a trap.
I love to, once again, in contrast, between the new movies and the original trilogy, is the Emperor is this dude, he's just dark. And he's sitting in this room, he's got this room set up where he can just sit and look out into space, whatever. And you don't know his motivation. I don't need a political explanation as to why you think you need to do all this stuff. He's just bad.
Mm-hmm.
He's just evil.
The one thing I kind of, I don't want to give the credit too much to the prequels on this or not, but I do love that the Emperor kind of has a plan for everything. Like, it's like,
yeah,
he's got it all locked down, and then he's gotten to this position of power just because he's so strong in the dark side,
yeah,
and he sees all these things, but Luke's the anomaly. Like,
mm-hmm,
he doesn't know what's going to happen with Luke. Like, he's trying to turn Luke, and he's trying to do these things, but he obviously doesn't see Luke turning Vader, and Vader throwing him down the pit and all these different things.
Right.
That's the thing that catches him off guard, where he's got all this power and all these things that he's done to get to this point. And even if you watch throughout the prequels, all this scheming and planning and all these putting these pieces together, Luke just comes in and just, like, wipes the whole thing out.
Even when he shows up, the Emperor says he can't sense him when Vader tells him
that
he is. So, yeah, that's cool. That's cool. But I just kind of like the mystery.
I do too.
That's around him here.
Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say real quick that I also love one of Han's moments is when that Imperial Guard comes down and he just throws charge at him.
And he falls.
And knocks him over the rail.
Yeah. He's got nothing else to do. That's all he can do.
Just throw this at you.
I like when Luke finally does get the saber.
Yeah.
Like when he finally is, he's had enough. The Emperor just keeps pushing him and taunting him and taunting him. And he kind of gives in a little bit.
Yeah.
And he gets the saber, and he lights it up, and goes for it, and Vader's there, like,
right,
ready to stop it. Well,
Vader's
right
waiting for it to happen. Yeah. He's, I mean...
And it's almost like it's still part of the game.
Right.
Like, they're still pushing him further and further. Like you said, it's not just a quick, immediate, oh, do this, and you can be super powerful. Yeah. It's they've got to keep pushing him and pushing him and pushing him to get to a point. And as you're watching that, you're thinking, man, what did they have to do to Vader to get him to that point? And it's disappointing what we end up finding out with it to Vader.
Yeah.
But I would have loved to seen something like that with Vader. Yeah. To see him be pushed and pushed and pushed until he finally can't be pushed anymore.
I like Luke turns around one or two times, mm-hmm, and you think he's going to go for it.
He keeps weighing it out.
And he doesn't. And then, but finally, yeah, he does. And it's so enthralling.
The battle between Vader and Luke is my favorite,
yeah,
without a doubt. And it's just, it captures you. You just can't, it's going to be tough to talk during some of these parts.
There's, Luke is just looking so tough. I mean, even though he's smaller than Vader, you know, he's just like.
It's an outfit, man.
The outfit and his stance and everything is just, he's ready to go. So, this fight is so much more emotional.
Oh, it's
than any of the other ones.
I've seen this so many times, but I still get chills.
I do too.
Every single time.
I do too. I still
when get he starts chills. Talking about Leia,
mm,
and you know when Vader's reading his thoughts, because Luke doesn't want the fight. Like even when he gives in a little bit here, he still immediately like pulls back and goes, you know, I don't want to do this.
Right.
And he's just trying to get away from Vader, like to not fight him. And he's jumping up on the thing and he says, I don't want to fight you. And he keeps, you know, he's feeling the thoughts in Vader. And we haven't got to that point yet.
The color, once again, the lights, just the blue, yeah, light here, and then the lightsabers.
And we're seeing a much stronger Luke in this fight, too. It's not like the Empire fight.
Yeah.
This is where Luke is kind of taking it to Vader a little bit,
yeah,
throughout.
Yeah, he does.
And he does pull back, like he's turning off his saber here, because he doesn't want to give in, and he doesn't want to turn to the dark side. And he goes and hides,
right,
to not have to deal with it.
Great cinematography there, too, because he's kind of hiding in the shadows. He's underneath those pillars, and Vader is like, I don't think he really knows exactly where Luke is. He's trying to get him,
yeah,
to come out, you know? And, man, it's so awesome. It's just...
When Vader... Oh, we're going too far.
I
need to go back just a little bit. I mean, Luke is obviously tormented by what's happening. Like, he still wants to turn Vader back, and it's not going the way he was envisioning it going, basically, you know? Yeah. And so he's having to also try and protect Leia so that she doesn't find out about Leia, because he figures maybe at this point he's going to die, you know? And he's got to protect the thoughts of Leia, but he can't help but think of Leia. And so then now Vader knows about Leia, and that's it, man. That's when it hits the fan.
Oh, yeah.
And that's just so good.
There's no way he's going to let
his Leia.
Twin sister get turned or be messed with or anything. You know, Luke could, like you said, he's stronger here. He could decide to fight Vader to the death and just kill him.
Just kill him. And then maybe kill the Emperor.
Right. But
he doesn't want to do that.
He wants redemption for his father.
I want to pause this real quick.
Pause it.
And I just want to say something about this life.
This right... Fight. Oh, okay. Pause it right here.
Okay. This is what I was going to talk about before. In the prequel lightsaber fights, all they're trying to do is hit each other's lightsabers.
Yeah.
You watch every fight, and all they're trying to do is hit each other's lightsabers.
Yeah.
And it's ridiculous. You're watching it, and you're sure they're moving fast, doing this and that, but they're not really trying to hit each other. They're just trying to hit each other's lightsabers.
Yeah, doing
again and again and again.
Crazy stuff.
This one, they're not trying to hit each other's lightsabers. Luke is going after Vader, and Vader is doing everything he can to block Luke from taking him out at this point.
This is such an epic moment, too, at least for me, where the camera is far, and you're looking at a wide shot that's tracking with them.
Oh, and the music?
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
It's epic. I mean,
it's so good. I'm getting chills right now just talking about this scene.
Yeah, that word is overused, but this truly is epic. I mean, this is the definition.
It really is. This is what the whole franchise has led up to. Luke versus Vader, the real Luke versus Vader fight.
Yeah.
For everything.
And that's just it. This is three movies leading up to this point.
He's going at him, and Vader's just like backing up, and he's like, whoa, man, like... He's coming at me. I'm not trying to hit your lightsaber. I'm trying to hit you. Like, there's no doubt about it. He's going at him.
Putting some energy into it.
Yeah.
And it finally reaches the point here, right here. I love this.
Oh.
Luke starts wailing on him.
Oh, my
gosh.
And
Vader can't even keep up now. And he just
falls.
Beats the crap out of his hand.
Bam.
And
that's it.
Cuts it off. Also, like, Luke's lightsaber.
Look at his eyes, man.
I know. Oh, he's ready to do him in. He can't. I mean, he's beside himself with the emotion of this thing. Quick note: Luke's lightsaber had touched the rails twice before on either side, and nothing happened. Might not be a big deal, but I'm thinking maybe this is some sort of stronger steel or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that final blow, he went right through it and Vader's hand.
Yeah, and the power of that saber, like you can tell, it's like. Back in this trilogy, the stunt coordinators and talk, they always said you had to use it with two hands because it's so powerful. It's like swinging a broadsword, and they make it feel like that.
Right.
But he's swinging something with a lot of power, and he's got to keep a handle on it. And when he's just wailing on him, man, it's just like the power of that is crazy.
Yeah.
And I love, that look on his face afterwards because it's like, did Luke just give in to the dark side? Because he just gave in to his anger.
Yeah, a little bit.
That's what happened right now.
Yeah.
And he pulls himself back. Like, he won't go fully on.
Right.
He sees Vader's stump, and he looks at his own hand, and he's like, I'm not going to become that. You know, that's not for me.
Once again,
he pulls
himself
back, and he even throws his lightsaber away, like, uh-uh.
Right,
this ain't
he tosses it down. Even though he knows the
Emperor
is still there, and he has no idea what the Emperor is capable of, but we're about to find out that he's got Force lightning.
Yep, and the Emperor has now officially gone, you know what, this ain't going to work. This kid ain't going to turn. I'm just going to have to kill him.
Right.
He really has tried everything he can to get Luke to turn, and Luke is not going to turn.
Right.
To the point where, you know, Vader's laying there in a heap, you know, breathing heavy with one less hand, and he was ready to trade off one apprentice for another one. You know?
Oh, yeah. Luke gets so be it, Jedi.
Oh, the
performance
creepy smile.
Here is...
And this still gives me chills.
So subtle and good in here.
Where Vader is looking back and forth like, what am I doing? It's just like, you can feel his thoughts like, am I this far gone?
Right.
He could come back.
Right.
You know, and I'm just gonna let this guy, I'm looking at this guy, and I'm going to let him kill my son? You know, it's just like...
That's why I have to believe that the transformation of Vader would have been more subtle and more gradual, because you're getting to this point, after you've slaughtered a school full of children, and, you know, tried to kill your Padawan, and tried to... all the stuff that he did...
There would be more. There would be more that would motivate him to have turned.
Right.
It would have been a bigger event that would have caused this downward spiral.
But anyway, so forget about all. Pretend that stuff didn't happen. He finally gets to this point, and he's. I like what you just said, where he's looking at the Emperor and saying, what am I doing?
Yeah.
Like, is this really, like, Luke just saved, he spared his life.
Yeah.
Because he was done.
Yep.
And,
do I really want to let this guy kill my son? Is this the path that I'm going to go on? Because this is it.
Right.
Once he's dead, that's it. This is my path.
Right.
You know, there's no, this is just going to be me and him.
No turning back whatsoever.
Yeah. This Luke was his one, like, maybe a connection to a past where he wasn't this monster that he is now. And so he's going to watch that get erased.
It was just that spark of good that was in him. And Luke managed to turn it into a flame.
Again, the music is... John Williams just nailed it. I mean, that
really did.
The music of him looking back and forth. And then when he finally moves forward and takes out the Emperor, it's just like, it's perfect. There's just, it's perfect cinema right there. You can't beat it. So then we finish off this Death Star battle, which, I mean, all these things are great, and we would talk about more, but this is already going to be over an hour-long episode.
Yeah, it's too long.
We really just want to... This shows... I don't really feel like we had this much of an issue with Empire or A New Hope, where it was like, we gotta get this in. We gotta get this part in. We gotta get this part in. We gotta get to this part.
Yeah, really. This hour went by really quickly, and I feel like there's more that I have to say. I wrote notes down at home, but I forgot to bring them in. Stupid me.
I wrote down notes too, but I think we hit everything.
I mean, yeah, we covered a lot of stuff, but I could just go on and on about the trajectory of Luke's ultimate fate, and also Darth Vader here. You take the mask off, and
I wish maybe he was a little more messed up than what he appears here.
Yeah,
maybe part of me does.
Well, it's just a helmet. I mean, who knows? His body is probably pretty messed
up. Oh, his body's wrecked. But you know, you only got that one little shot of the back of the head and the one. And I think maybe Kirshner talked about how he envisioned it was going to be more, and he would just give you that little piece, but it was really bad.
Yeah.
And it doesn't look as bad from up front as it teased from the back, you know?
Yeah.
I
wonder if, you know, you're to be feeling sympathy for him right now. They don't want it, as bad as it is to say, if he was just, like, hideously disfigured.
It would be tough to feel. Yeah,
it would
be
kind of hard to feel that. Luke also, what does he do? He carries him out?
Yeah.
He's going to carry this heavy...
He's dragging him.
This machine...
he's just been... this huge fight, lightsaber fight, electric shock again and again and again from the Emperor, and he's still going to try and drag his dying dad out of there. Like, he won't leave him behind.
Huge.
Like, he's... He just won't leave him behind. Even he knows that this place is getting ready to blow up.
Right.
And he's still going to try and get him out of there. It just looks the quintessential hero, man. Like, he just won't... He won't stop. He won't give up. It's just...
And let me say... The spirit of Anakin shows up as an old man,
and that's
because
where
that's when he was saved,
mm-hmm.
To quote unquote. That's when he died that way on the good side, on the good side of the Force.
For them to change it in the special editions and make it Hayden is just erasing the fact that this momentous turn. It's just like, okay, well. No, he's a Jedi again. That's the return of the Jedi. He's a Jedi again right now. Even though his body's all messed up and things like that, he's a Jedi right now. He's no longer a Sith Lord. He's turned.
Right.
So why take it all the way back to the time right before he turned? Because then you've erased the turn. You're just going back to what Hayden was. And if you can choose what you want to be as your ghost, why would Obi-Wan choose to be an old man ghost?
Right.
You know, it's just, that's silly.
Old man ghost?
Old man ghost.
Inside joke. Sorry, fellas.
It's a silly change.
It is silly.
It's I don't know. It's a discredit to Sebastian Shaw to erase him and throw Hayden in there. That's just I think it's silly. It's really, really silly. Because what happens then? Does he come back and kick advice to Luke as Hayden Christensen? Nobody wants to see that.
Nobody wants to see that.
Even recognize him?
Exactly.
When that ghost shows up, how does he know that's Anakin?
Right.
Doesn't look like the guy he just saved. No, it looks like some young dude.
He's a young dude.
Obi-Wan, who's your friend?
I have to say that Anakin was not. I don't feel like he was ever on the good side. Watching those movies, he was just whining the whole time.
I've been watching the Clone Wars cartoon, and I feel the Anakin good side a lot more in that than I did in any of the movies.
When Luke comes back.
The Fuel Pyre.
Yes.
That's so cool.
And Yub Yub.
And Yub Yub.
So cool.
The sequence of Luke burning the armor, you know, and just the look on his face and the silhouette of him standing in front of the fire and the flames go up to the sky and all that stuff. It's just really cool, man. And at that point, I guess the armor would be basically empty.
Yeah.
You know, because the spirit has gone off, and he's just burning what's left of Luke, because we watched Obi-Wan disappear when right. he joined the Force, and we watched Yoda disappear when he joined the Force, and we now have Anakin have joined the Force,
right.
and that's why the helmet is there, and we don't see an unhelmeted burning or whatever.
Right.
He's
getting rid of the...
He's getting rid of what's left of Darth Vader.
Right, exactly.
Because that guy's gone.
Exactly.
Just so much, you know, tapped into each of these, and who knows if the filmmakers really intended for you all that to mean all that.
Yeah, who knows.
But they leave it for you to take it and right. make it your own. Like, oh, okay, well, I want this. This is what this means to me. You know, this scene. They're not spelling it all out, but this is what this means to me.
When Luke gets back, I won't get in the way. This is another reason. I don't want to end on this, but I feel like another reason why they added the Leia and Luke brother sister thing was because they had the big reveal in Empire,
mm-hmm.
and what are they going to do next?
Yeah,
got to have something else. And even though it wasn't as big of a reveal, it's kind of like.
Well, they did the There Is Another thing in Empire. You're talking about the Leia being the sister thing?
Yeah.
Well, he did the There Is Another. So it's like they almost...
Yeah, that's true. There was that.
Yeah.
There
was but that. Who knows what that other was going to be. Was it planned at that point? I'm not sure the plan was in Star Wars for Luke and Leia to be brother and sister. Right. Who knows if he knew it back then?
Maybe in Empire.
Maybe. Especially because he calls to her, and she's the one that can hear him at the end of Empire. But... I'm not so sure if the feeling was there for the first film. Yeah.
I don't want to be so skeptical.
I mean, either.
He said that...
He said he did all along, he did all along.
Knew. Maybe he did, but it's just the kiss thing bothers me.
Yeah.
That's all. But anyway, yeah.
Big celebration at the end.
Big celebration. I love the way it ends because it does wrap it up, and I hear the stars talk about when they're filming... I think this was one of the last things filmed... And they were like, okay, this really is goodbye. I mean, this is it. We've done this, gone through this big journey. And they got the fire going on, the cool night air in the forest. I don't know if you've ever been out in the woods at night, you know, and it's...
You feel that. Yeah, when you're watching the scene, it feels like
exactly.
that. Exactly. It's just, and Luke's back, and he's got that cool flap down on his shirt. He just looks awesome. And he turns, and he sees the three spirits, like, show up.
He knows...
He did it, man.
He
did everything he set out to do.
Yeah.
He destroyed the Emperor. He destroyed the Empire. He brought his dad back. It's like, he's the Jedi. It's just, he did everything he set out to do. And darn right you can smile now, Luke. You did everything, man.
And what was it you said, somebody said about the ending earlier? That it was...
A little too feel good or something like that, or too kiddified or something like that?
It was like the opposite of that. Whatever it was.
Oh, it would have ended on a downer if Han died.
Oh,
that's what
no.
you're saying.
No, we said something else.
We can listen to it later.
Either way, there's nothing wrong with that ending because I feel like that everything is now open. They're starting anew. Luke is going to go train some Jedi,
yeah.
and Han and Leia are going to go do their thing. Like, that's how
this
it,
is
that's
it.
How
the
it
Jedi
should end. They have.
Evil's defeated.
Mm-hmm.
The good guys are back. That's the way it should be. And I do like what Mark Hamill said about the end of the film. He's like, it was kind of a sad thing. Like, clear out your locker. And I just kept thinking about, what about all the other adventures that Luke could have?
Right.
And we all think about that when we see this end of the movie. Like,
yes.
What about all the other adventures
yes,
that Luke
because
could have?
This sets up for him to go and
do his thing. He's a Jedi now. We get to see him be a Jedi now.
We've said for years that what we were expecting back in, like, early 2000s for a TV series to be based on Luke and all of this stuff, but that never happened.
And yeah, there's books. And books are great. You know, there's been some really great stories. The Thrawn trilogy was really
people
good.
People did what they could.
The Dark Empire comics, I think, were a lot of fun, and but it's not the same as watching Mark Hamill be Luke. And if this happens, and Episode 7, Luke does come back as a Jedi, and we get to see the things that we wanted to see back 30 years ago or whatever, that's going to be a really, really cool moment.
That's
to
really
see.
What I'm excited. That's for because I
mean,
and it might not turn out that way, but as a youngster. I was reading some of the other novels and stuff. There was a certain feel to it, and you saw imagery of Luke being at the Jedi Temple, and and just that it seemed to have a nice pace to it. It wasn't all like in your face, crazy flipping adventure. You know, it was like, okay, Luke is here, and there's on this. It just had a good feel to it, and I hope that we get to see some of that. I don't know that we will, but
I've always, I don't know if I said this on the show before, but. Given my choice, I would much rather see the continuing adventures of Luke than I would have seen how did Anakin become Vader.
Yeah,
because my attachment was with Luke.
Yeah, if they were gonna tell, if they had to do something then, and I'm glad that they didn't do that now because George would have ruined it.
It would have ruined it. I'm glad it's in somebody else's hands that maybe, you know, because J.J. Abrams has talked about how much he appreciates the original Star Wars trilogy. Yeah. Back when he was in Star Trek, he was always saying, "I'm a Star Wars guy."
Yeah,
you know, I love the original Star Wars trilogy and the way it is. And he, I mean, all the things I'm hearing coming out of the movie where he appreciates practical effects and he appreciates those old characters and things like that. That's really what you need, is somebody that was a fan of this. And I don't know how much really a George is a fan of this. As much as he tweaks it and changes things
that we as fans would not do. Yeah.
Maybe he's not as much of a fan as we all would hope he would be.
I think he was, and then he starts getting...
Stuff started happening.
You know, whatever, but...
there it is.
Return of the Jedi.
Such a great film.
It's a great movie. I'm
so happy just watching Return of the Jedi, man.
Yeah.
It feels so good.
It's a feel-good movie.
Having Return of the Jedi on.
I love Return of the Jedi.
It's so good. All right, so if you got anything you want to say, go to the Facebook page, leave comments, all that stuff.
I'm sure there's something that we missed.
I'm sure there's tons of stuff we missed. We had to skip a lot, but it's over an hour now, right?
Yes.
Next episode, maybe we'll do the bracket thing. We can't make any promises, but maybe we'll do that bracket
maybe
thing.
Maybe we will, maybe we won't.
Maybe we won't, maybe we will.
You don't know. All right, we don't know.
So this has been Mike and James.
Action Features.
I'm James. Action Features, a podcast. Blaze, I hope you enjoyed it, because you're looking forward to this one. Yep. So. Sorry, real quick. You still going?
Yeah, we're going.
Okay. Congratulations to my friend Charles, who got married last night.
Whoa!
His longtime girlfriend Frankie. Big congrats.
I didn't know that.
Super happy for you guys. And that's that.
Good job.
All right.
Good job, Charles.
Yeah. Sign him up.
Does that mean we can't share a banana cream pie in a mug anymore?
No, you can still do that.
We'd still do that?
That's still okay.
Okay.
All right. We out.
Peace.